Welcome back, and we're here now with the Environmental Advisory Council. I see two members that I'll allow them to introduce themselves, and then we'll turn the floor over to them. Thank you for being here this evening.
All right, yeah, thanks for having us. Zach Davis, Bryson here.
I'm Teresa Landoy.
All right, so again, I'll just repeat again some current members. You know, myself, Teresa, and then our secretary, Vicky Midas. We have Mark Fonja, Louise Willis, Kabindra Shakya, Joel Miner, who's a new member as of, I believe, December-ish, January. And then we have a student member, Jocelyn Bilker, who will be graduating this spring, and we will have a big vacancy, big shoes to fill with her, so, yeah. All right, so just a high-level overview of our mission, as I like to do every year. From Marion Township, Environmental Advisory Council is dedicated to exploring and promoting ways to create a more environmentally protective and sustainable community while providing support and advice to the Township's Board of Supervisors, commissions, and other personnel.
Six.
Our goals include developing policy recommendations, promoting natural resource conservation, increasing education and awareness, working with the community and regional and local environmental orgs, and evaluating available grant funding opportunities. So just a high level look at some of our recent accomplishments. It doesn't look like a lot for the past year, but it was a lot of work to get there. So we collaborated with a number of UM citizen boards, staff, and local groups. And I can let Teresa go into a little bit more detail about some of these activities because she led the way on these.
So last fall, we planted a rain garden at the Volpe Commons, and we worked with, we had school volunteers and also just community members. And then we are getting ready for another demonstration rain garden near the community garden next Saturday. So in a week and a half, and we'll have volunteers helping out with that planting as well. And then we recently applied for another VCA grant along with the Shade Tree Commission to promote a healthy lawns initiative. So we'll be waiting to hear back from them.
And I guess along these lines, this was a recent addition as of last night. The EAC, myself and the rest of the EAC, we're sponsoring a student in their VCA grant. And he is working on a project to arrange cleanups in various parks and streets and whatnot. He reached out to me a few weeks ago, and we offered to sponsor him and assist with this initiative. So also working with students in high schools in various ways. And then the final item we have here, obviously you guys are well aware, we passed the Plastic Pollution Reduction Ordinance. That was a large portion of our year, and I go a little bit further into it in the next slide.
Cool.
So it was passed in 2023. Again, you guys know this. Phase one of the ordinance went into effect on January 1st. It targeted plastic bags, plastic straws, and beverage stirrers, and then expanded foam polystyrene food containers. So far, I've talked with Tony. It's gone pretty well. There have been, questions that pop up here and there, and we try to address them as quickly as possible. But so far, it's been relatively smooth, I would say.
I think at this point, other than the learning tree, everybody else seemed to make that transition. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any plastic bags.
Lakeshore.
I said it, learn.
Yeah.
Lakeshore.
Sorry.
Yeah. And they have a deferral until July.
You mean 6 months?
Yeah. And then when questions pop up, whether it's through Don's forwarded me some questions, Rose has forwarded me some questions, Tony has, we try to address them in a timely manner and just make sure all the businesses are aligned and everything. And it seems to be going pretty well. And then phase two, it goes into effect on July 1st of this year, and that's targeting plastic utensils. So that's, again, we're going to continue to work with businesses. We'll probably set up a similar Q&A session just to make ourselves available that we did in the fall. So any businesses can come and ask us questions if they feel the need to. And then also we partnered with the township and again, Don, the PIO, to distribute reusable bags to residents and the community cover. We'll also be at Earth Day again this weekend distributing more bags. So if any residents need some reusable bags, stop by Earth Day and get some at our stand.
I could just mention that I heard anecdotally some people were involved in a cleanup in the township. I forget where the cleanup was exactly. Do you remember where it was? It was someone at the meeting, I think, who mentioned this. And they noticed a definite
smaller amount of plastic bags that got picked up this time around.
Yeah.
It made a big
scrub and pub last month. Someone I think Vicky, Mark or Vicky, they noted that there was significantly less plastic bag pollution,
which means it's working.
Yes.
That was good to hear.
This is a schematic of the demonstration rain garden that will be put in next Saturday, and the list of the native species that will go into that. And again, that's near the community garden there on Ross Road and Henderson.
All right, here's some fun little data that I can share. So this is a look at 2023's charging metrics. This is just an interesting look. I got this data this morning from Jeff, and you can see, I'll take a step back and explain how I analyzed it. So I normalized all the data to a 16-hour day because, you know, you're assuming that not many people are going to be using a charger from about 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. So really, I wanted to focus on the occupation time relative to 16 hours. So you can see from Q1 to Q4, the occupation time is steadily increasing. And actually in 4Q, we get beyond the 16-hour per day. It's normalized against a 16-hour day. We're hitting 112% utilization. So the chargers are wildly successful. They're always crowded. Even just when I got out here, there were four cars all charging at the same time. So that's led to a significant cost savings for residents by comparing the cost of a gallon per gas to $3.50, which I have an electric car, so I actually don't know if that's how much gas costs. So that was my estimate.
Unless you go to Costco.
I mean, just looking at that, we've distributed 46,000 kilowatt hours of energy. We've saved almost 20,000 greenhouse gas, or kilograms of greenhouse gases. So those are huge numbers. And these only take into account the two public units. I omitted the actual township data because it had less usage, and I just wanted to show the benefit to residents. So again, the key takeaway I have here is that demand for the chargers is high, and it's continuing to increase quarter over quarter. And again, the previous estimate there is what I shared at our meeting last year, actually, at the last joint supervisors, and that was including the township vehicle usage. So we're exceeding what everything was projected to use, including township vehicles. So it would be an EAC recommendation to begin exploring additional charging locations just due to the success of this. Potential locations are the community center complex, Margie Farm, Heuser Park. So really that would expand our infrastructure. And one additional idea that we've had in discussions is potentially implementing a small charge on charging past, say, hour two. Because one thing we did notice when I was looking at the data was that the average session is about 3 hours long for charging, but the average occupation time of a charger is 6 hours. So there's a 3 hour gap where they're just plugged in and not charging. So if we implement a small fee, it would encourage people to move off the chargers and allow other more people to charge as well. And then couple this with taking that money and investing it into a green account and to fund our future expansions, whether it's EV infrastructure, solar, or really any changes we want to make. I think that would be a good, easy way for the township to pursue more sustainable options.
We work with the Upper Marion Park Partners and also with the Shade Tree Commission, the Sanitary Stormwater Authority to plan our demonstration rain gardens, working with local groups to host cleanup events. And as a fun fact, since 2019, UM Park Partners events have collected over 3 tons of trash. So still continuing. These are pictures from our planting last year or last fall, and also Earth Day. So about a year ago, Earth Day festival last fall or spring. Sorry. There's more pictures.
Yeah. Cleanups.
Cleanups. Yeah.
So a look ahead at our future plans. We want to continue working with the supervisors as well as citizen boards and staff to advance our commitment to 100% renewable energy. We want to continue community education and outreach regarding renewable energy, single-use plastics, native plants, stormwater management, forever chemicals, microplastics, and more. We also want to encourage transition to an electrified fleet, including hybrids, plug-in hybrids, EVs for all township operations. I'll just quickly comment on that. We're doing a good job with like code enforcement and whatnot. I know we've been switching to Chevy Bolts recently, and we're definitely transitioning. I think we have about three plug-in hybrids or EVs. Yeah.
All EVs.
So one opportunity I think we have would be to expand our fleet of police hybrids. There are a number of police pursuit rated hybrids, so not plug-in, not EVs, and a lot of local townships have worked on that. There's a slightly higher upfront cost. It's about $5,000, but all the studies from the township show that they make that cost back starting on day 366, just due to less maintenance and less fuel consumption. So that's an easy way to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions and save money in the long term. And those are, again, there's already communities doing that around here, and they are pursuit rated, so there should be no concerns due to any like weight restrictions that police cruisers may have. And then pursue movement towards all electric landscape equipment. This is something that's picking up a little bit of, well, not steam, because you know we wouldn't have that with all electric landscape equipment, but it's picking up some momentum in the area. There's right now a coalition of like Lower Merion, Cheltenham, and several other communities that are looking into this. So they've approached some of us, and they would like us to partner with them and look into this as an option. And there's a number of commercially available electric landscape equipment available now that are better even than last year and the year before. So there's been a lot of progress made in this front.
I think the biggest issue with those are things like with a lawn service, that the decks were so much smaller for the EVs, mm-hmm. and it would take labor twice as long to mow the area. So that was, I think, a big concern.
That's one thing we've heard. And I think, It's changed a little bit over the past 5 years.
It's true, because I have an EV and a lawnmower, mm-hmm. and it's only a 21-inch disc. I can't mm-hmm. get a 36-inch disc for the kind of house I have.
Yeah.
And the batteries crap out 45 minutes out. And if you have a longer grass, mm-hmm. I can't even get the front yard.
Yeah. I will say that there are commercial or there are landscape companies now that have access to equipment that we don't, and they have made significant improvements. Like I know Louise specifically uses a landscape company that only uses electric equipment. So technology improves. I mean, like anything, it's really year over year there are massive improvements, and it's not things that we're going to see at Home Depot or Lowe's.
There must be some technical reason why the decks are smaller on the electric mowers.
Which is, as the blade gets bigger, it takes more energy to spin. So, you need bigger batteries. So like if we're doing it at home, we need to have batteries to like take out and plug in. So the batteries would start getting progressively larger. Mm-hmm. But for the commercial equipment, it's like you plug in like a car to a battery. So it's a little bit different, but
My company has in their vehicle, they drive around and they have a big storage battery. Mm-hmm. They just switch out their stuff. And I'm pretty sure their deck is
they have
20s for sure.
They have like the classic zero turns, like up to 48-inch decks now. It's just, we're never going to be able to buy that.
Because I'm just saying, if you had a bigger deck, you would have to use it fewer passes, and you'd have to use it for less time.
Yes, yeah.
You know, there's kind of that balance.
But it's also higher weight, bigger blades. It's a delicate balance, but they do have commercial dealers.
What's the future of battery disposal? So NPR, it was the BBC not too long ago. In most of the developing world, they are not opting for cars, they're opting for tricycles and two-wheelers, right? Mm-hmm. So they're looking at, having battery swap-out stations. But mm-hmm. the reality is, whether you're talking about batteries for your solar panels on your house or whatever, you're going to have where the battery-operated Tesla, mm-hmm. those batteries don't last forever. Mm-hmm. So they're toxic in and of themselves.
Yeah.
So what's the state of the there's science on disposing that stuff other than sending it to like Bangladesh where people just
It is possible to do. It's, you know, right now it's such a nascent technology. I wouldn't say nascent technology. It's not scaled properly at the moment, but there is significant funding available in the IRA directly dedicated to expanding battery recycling plants. And then there are studies that show those plants can again churn out new batteries using the recycled batteries that are just as good as a newly created one. So the technology is going to be there. It's there. They're going to, the expansion and scalability will be there, I'll say. And the IRA will certainly help get there. Yeah. So, all right, more future plans. So this has a little bit to do with the comprehensive plan and development and kind of, you know, mentioning like the green fund I talked about is just contributing to township comprehensive plan development and ensuring sustainability and community resilience is considered for all projects. So not necessarily thinking a project is a sustainable project by like installing chargers or solar, but every project we do, we want to make sure has elements of sustainability. So like theoretically, if we were to build a new facility for township admin operations, we would want to make sure that's done sustainably, not just like do it normally and then slap some solar panels on top. So that's what I mean by, you know.
We're going to continue to be the conscience of the environmental faction of the township.
Yeah.
So, and always look to do things more sustainably.
Exactly.
In any future projects, whether it's a new building or a renovation of an old building or development of a park or whatever.
Exactly. And I include here like Hoyser 2, enhancements to Norview Farm and anything else that will be coming down the road. And then I have here partner with communities across Montgomery County and Southeast Pennsylvania to advance common initiatives. Landscape equipment is one of those, but there's becoming a tight-knit network of communities that are working together to progress our goals. That's how we were able to do Ready for 100, single-use plastics, and we're kind of, you know, growing together and helping each other out. Continue looking into the emerging dangers of forever chemicals and microplastics linked to artificial turf, synthetic grass, and chemgrass. And then stay up to date on emerging local, state, and national issues in sustainability and climate change. So actually, the next slide I have an emerging issue, which is last week the EPA implemented strict limits, I'm sure you guys are well aware, on forever chemicals. So they set it at the lowest detectability limit, so 4 parts per trillion, which is absolutely insane. I can't even imagine, as a scientist, as an analytical scientist, I can't imagine that level of precision in an assay. So it's kind of unfathomable to think about that. But it also reinforces the idea that zero amount of forever chemicals are safe in our body, in our aquifer, really anywhere. They have no business being in nature at all. They're not natural, you know, it's a carbon fluorine bond. You can't find that anywhere. Just one last slide. Special thanks to Rose Grasso, who is our staff liaison, Carol Kenny, who's our board liaison, and then Jerry Vitima, who helps us out a lot with park cleanups and really just anything. You know, she's always very willing to help. And then also Barley Van Cleef and Diane Riley for partnering with the recent grant opportunities for the rain garden.
Yep, we found that so many things that we discuss in the EAC revolve around so many issues that are shared by Shade Tree Commission, by ECDC, by the sewer and stormwater part of the sewer. And we're not just in our own little silos, and we're collaborating with each other just to improve our environment and to keep it as safe and clean as possible for our residents and anyone who comes into our township. So we're not operating in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm. I was curious about the plastic pollution reduction ordinance with the products that I'm seeing all over the township. It's really interesting to see the various solutions that the retail operations are coming up with. And I was wondering, there's some that are amazing and there's some that are not so great. So I was wondering if we could even put together some kind of recommendations for some of the I'm not going to call out anyone. I was almost going there, but I'll reel that back in. Maybe we can offer some recommendations, because there are some places that I know that I'm not getting a straw there because it's going to collapse as soon as I start using it and it's not beneficial. And then take off the cap and I just drink out of the cup. But I was wondering if we could put together some recommendations of better products and I don't know if some retailers or restaurants may not be receptive to that kind of information, but especially restaurants should be more sensitive to that than if they're supplying that for their products that they're selling.
Yeah, we can definitely work on that. And I think now that we're 4.5 months in, there's some lessons learned. So I think, you know, for us and for businesses as well, what products are working, what isn't. We provided a list of items pre-ordinance that are on the website. But even then, I checked recently and some of the links are already dead. So clearly those products didn't work out because a lot of them are like startups. But there are, you know, products on the market that are being used in our community that I hadn't even heard of and didn't even provide on the list. So there's a lot of different things, like some are made out of seashells. I know one business using that. So it's,
what's made out of seashells? Straws?
Straws. Yeah. Straws are made out of seashells. Yeah, that was a weird one. I had to look it up. Yeah.
Was it reusable?
Yeah, well, I guess technically, I don't know if you want to reuse it that many times, but technically it is. It's like, I don't know, it kind of feels like paper, but it's like plastic.
Exactly, I don't know.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, it feels papery, but it has the, like, durability of plastic. It's interesting, I don't know.
Maybe if there's dirt inside, it'll turn into a pearl.
Yeah. That's why you can't get any liquid out.
Yeah,
that's
kind of a collection of pearl straws. Yeah.
Sugarcane straws.
Sugarcane, yeah. Yeah.
I think Costco does that.
The plant-based ones seem really good. Mm-hmm. Other ones that are not so great.
Yeah.
Well, technically speaking, paper straws are plant-based, but not as helpful as other types of plants.
Apparently, pasta straws are very popular. I've seen those before in this.
We need to go back to the pixie sticks.
That's why I don't like paper straws. So the pixie sticks always collapse.
Then you could get the sugar out.
you tear it off, and your straw gets smaller. Yeah, of course, with that. It's been exciting to see also a lot of the establishments that are switching over to the utensils, even they don't have to yet. More and more you're seeing that's becoming more standard now than not. So the plastics are eliminating themselves on their own without the ordinance being in effect until that July 1st.
I'm surprised by that too. And I guess to help our case, there was another community recently that passed it based on our ordinance, Utensils Newtown in Bucks County. So they were the second state to do it. So it's gaining momentum. And I think there's a couple other that will be voted on in the next like several months, basing it off of our ordinance.
We're getting so used to it in our community that I know when I'm traveling, I get unnerved when you see the other, like you get a plastic straw in your, styrofoam plates, or all of it. You're taken aback by it a little bit. And like, no, I really don't need a bag. They almost force that. No, but you need a bag. I don't need a bag.
Just give me the receipt.
It's interesting when you're traveling around that not everyone has adopted this yet. So I don't know if anyone else has any.
A couple things, since you mentioned the bags, there were a couple, I think they've stopped it now, a couple of businesses that were really extorting you for bags.
Oh, really?
Yes, there were some that were charging 10 cents whether you took a bag or not. They gave you a bag and charged you 10 cents for what or not. There was another one that was actually, I think it was under $1, but basically if you wanted a bag, they went that route, even though the bag was worth about a penny. So I think those have stopped from what I heard, but I did get a couple of complaints, and I said, just go back and complain and say no. I think they've resolved themselves. But I wanted to mention, I think this idea that Tina mentioned would be great if we can come up with some ideas of here's what's working, here's what's not working, because when I submit your presentation to PSATs next year again, I think that having a tool like that, in addition to our ordinance, giving them a tool that says, here's what works, here's what doesn't work, here's how you implement it, it would probably get better traction to actually be one of the presentations. And I think another year of time in communities becoming more acquainted with this will help. Clearly, this was not an issue among the rest of the state this year. So for us to continue to raise that knowledge level, or at least the awareness level of it, I think would be helpful. But even DEP did not have, they were only there for one day, but they didn't have anything related to this at their stand.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's certainly something we can work on. And I mean, to your point, Newtown emailed me asking for ideas and what was working and what wasn't. So that's already happening. And it's only going to increase more and more now that there are more ordinances being passed.
There'll be more and more manufacturers coming on board.
Yeah. Exactly. That's part of it, too.
To keep up with the supply demand.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the PSAT's legal counsel, who I know very well, asked me to start feeding the specific ordinances as they get changed so that they can put them into their database. So I'll be following up on that next week and again send them yours, but ours.
Yeah.
Clearly, it's an educational issue for the state.
Yeah. And that's something, I'm glad you said that about like the database of ordinances. That's something I'm trying to work with the county on as well, to develop a toolbox of ordinances that continually evolves to be, you know, whatever the most advanced ordinance in our area is, so we don't have to recreate it. I can just go online and pull it, and that's it.
I'm going to put it up on the Montgomery County Association of Township Officials website, which I'm on the executive board of, because we've redone our website, Tony, and we will get one tab that will have key ordinances. And yet this one and a couple of our other ones up on there. It was amazing how many sessions we went to this past week at our conference, how many asked for sample ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And one thing at the conference, there were a great number of presentations on solar and on EV vehicles and EV chargers. So that has finally, you know, wormed its way into the PSAT's presentations. And I think it's got to be just a matter of time that we keep pushing this, that someone said to me, they don't know that much about it, or they may not be interested, but how do you find out about it, except at places like this, unless you're going to read in the newspaper or something. But this is one way of bringing it to everyone's, putting it on the table and having them be educated about it. So we have to start somewhere. So shame on PSAT, and I hope they'll go for this next year. Absolutely.
And I think it's a great time to implement a lot of these changes right now, because there's a ton of federal funding available through the bipartisan infrastructure law, through the IRA, and various other grants and resources. So it's really, we could strike while the iron's hot before any money, you know, dries up. But there's a ton of funding available for municipalities.
And you just sort of kind of glossed over the fact that you are one of the two people at the county level on the environmental committee, or what is it called?
I'm the co-chair of our county adjacent. It's moving Monco forward. I'm the co-chair of the Sustainability and Climate Change Commission or Committee, which will turn into most likely the Sustainability and Climate Change Commission for the county. So we'll look to expand and collaboration with throughout Montgomery County. So that's how I know, like, we're looking into the ordinance toolbox for municipalities as well.
I wanted to make sure you got props for that.
That's wonderful.
To that point, I know there's a lot of encouragement of the county to pursue this as well, because I'm encouraging them and setting that direction. So I know there's a lot of encouragement for the county to work with municipalities.
How many municipalities are actively involved in that?
We have 25 people on our board. We submitted our report about a week and a half ago. We presented to the commissioners Winder and Makija in middle of March. So once that report becomes public, I can share with everybody and share our sustainability vision for the county and how I tried to incorporate a lot of things that we would like to see in Upper Marion kind of spread that countywide. To answer the question, there were 24 people from Montgomery County and one like climate expert who's a professor in UC Davis in California who worked for the Senate, and she did a report on Montgomery County flooding. So we pulled her in from California because she was such a resource. So.
Okay, great. Anything in addition from anyone? I think we've neared our, we're 1 minute over. Okay, well, thank you for coming and all this great information, and keep doing the great work you're doing. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So we're gonna take a brief recess at this time, and then when we reconvene, we'll be meeting with the Library Board of Directors. Thank you again.
Okay, good.
Next second.